We're going to be in Luke 12 this morning. I'll give you a moment to find that. All right, Luke 12, and we'll start our reading in verse 22, and we'll read down. We're going to read a good little bit, but we'll read down through verse 40, so just bear with me while I go through it. And he, that is Jesus, said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows you have need of these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. And be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself and serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Thanks for bearing with me through that. So, this morning we've jumped into the middle of a story. Unless you're teaching through whole sections of the Bible, that's kind of what it is. You're jumping in the middle of somewhere. But it's in the middle of a story, and it's quite literally in the middle. So, we've left off the first half. We're leaving off, or the first third, rather. We're leaving off the last third. And we're just looking at this middle section. I don't know if you've noticed it or not in your Bible reading, but Luke doesn't have any short chapters. You know, I like a short chapter every once in a while. Just kind of fits in with my schedule. But Luke doesn't have any short chapters. It's just long swaths of Scripture, which are glorious. They're wonderful. They're marvelous. And this particular chapter is a very busy chapter. It's full of our Lord's teaching, our Lord's instruction, and it's full of application. In fact, if you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice, and I don't, but it's almost entirely, is it not almost entirely in red? These are the words of our Lord. Now, much of the teaching, much of the application for us is somewhat self-evident. And that just means that it sort of teaches itself, right? But even so, we must read them. And we must discuss them amongst ourselves. And we must admonish and encourage one another with these things, my brothers and my sisters. So we're going to look at this section in two parts. It's just kind of, what do they say, valuable information for your everyday living. We're going to look at it in two parts. The first part is what we are to do. I mean, are not to do. I'm sorry. The first part is what we are not to do. I'll straighten up in a minute, guys. What we're not to do. And the second is what we are to do. So I'm calling them the don't bees and the bees. So there are three things listed for us here that we are not to do. Three don't bees. Don't be anxious, don't worry, and don't be afraid. Now, at the very outset of this, I want to say to you that I am no master of this subject. I'm really not. I'm just a fellow student, just like you. To say that I've mastered these things would be a lie. So most of you here know that my wife Jennifer is facing a surgery coming Tuesday. And for me to say to you that I haven't had any anxiety about that would be a falsehood. It's an unknown to me. What's it going to be like? So I struggle with this along with you, perhaps. Now, we're in good company, not because of me, but David in the Psalms wrote, "My spirit is overwhelmed within me." Something was perplexing him. Something was troubling him. We're going to give the subject, anxiety, worry, and fear, a good bit of space here. Our Lord did, right? And there's a reason for it, and really it's all through the scriptures about fear and anxiety and worry for a good reason. Our Lord gave good space to it here. And also, I want to touch on it because the enemy uses these things in our minds. So our minds, you know, we have our souls and we have our spirits. Somebody else can explain that later. But we have our minds, right? And the enemy is constantly at work. Constantly at work. And so he uses these things. He uses anxiety and he uses a worry and he uses fear. And he does this to diminish, if you will, the lordship of Christ in our lives. Let that sink in for just a second. These things, this anxiety, worry, fear, the enemy uses those to diminish Christ's lordship over our lives and in our lives. You think about the time that Jesus took the disciples, they were crossing the lake, and the storm blew up. He was sound asleep. And they say, "Hey, we're about to perish." As if the Lord had taken them into the deep waters just to let them all drown. You see what I'm saying? That angst they had, it set itself up against Christ's lordship. He was right there. He's right here. Right? So, we'll give some space. Listen, if you don't suffer from any of these things, just sit tight and I'll get to something that does apply to you. But I think somebody somewhere probably struggles with one or two of these things at least. So, now, all three of these things are they're similar, right? And they're easily substituted one for the other. At some point, their definitions overlap. But we still want to look at them individually. And I just picked out the definitions for them, okay? So anxiety. That's an uneasy apprehension over a certain matter, to be overly concerned about something in the future, something unknown. For me, it's Tuesday. Something unknown. To worry is to be afflicted with mental stress and agitation. And to fear is to be filled with apprehension and distressed in our minds. Again, our minds. So those are the definitions. Again, they overlap, but Christ picked them out individually, and so we'll just look at each one. Verse 22 through 26, and he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If you cannot even do this very little thing, why are you anxious about so many other matters?" Now, in our modern American society, it can be a little hard for us to grasp what Christ is saying here. Now, this anxiety is about food and clothing, you know, and we can't really relate to that in our modern American society much. So it can be kind of hard to grasp the depth of what he's saying here. We really don't have to be anxious about tomorrow's meal. And let me stop right there and just say, I'm not saying no one's hungry in our little town today. But if they are, that's another sin problem, because it's not because there's no food. That's another matter altogether. But it's not because there's not an abundance. Okay? So we don't really have to worry or be anxious much about tomorrow's food or tomorrow's clothing. But 2,000 years ago, food scarcity was a real thing. All through the scriptures, we see famine and how it moved people around. You know, it moved Naomi. It moved people around. It moved some folks down to Egypt, remember? So it was a real thing. They didn't have Chick-fil-A, and they didn't have drive-through windows, and they didn't have grocery stores that are full. They're full right now. They stocked them all last night. There wasn't even refrigeration. So food scarcity was a real thing. And so he's hammering on this. And in fact, a lot of times when the crowds followed him, they followed him because he provided what? Food. I mean, they were there. There were true people, true disciples, true seekers. But many of them were like, hey, there's food to be had over here. So it was important to them. It was front and center in their lives. So we may not be anxious over tomorrow's meal, but there are things we can be anxious about tomorrow. As I mentioned, a surgery we don't know about. What about tomorrow's work problem? What about tomorrow's test? Did you study for it? What about news of our nation and the world? And I'll just give you a little piece of advice here. It doesn't make me special in any way, but try not to turn the news on Sunday. It'll be there Monday. It'll be there Monday. I've tried to make a real effort not to check my phone, not to check the news. And you know what? When I wake up on Monday morning, it's still there. It was fine. But it's just one more thing I don't need vexing me on the Lord's Day, right? And we're so used to it. You know, let's see, what did he say? Who cares? You know, this is the Lord's Day, right? Try to leave that stuff alone. And let's, this day of the week, you know, let's focus on what's best for our spirits, what's best for our hearts. But we can be worried about the world, and believe me, there's a lot to worry about there. We can also be worried about our health, or anxious about it, rather, I'm sorry. Now, Jesus is not telling us here to make no plans. Again, the Bible's full of teaching on this. You know, he's not saying don't study for your test. He's not saying don't make plans for tomorrow. Don't plan your work day, right? And don't take care of your health. Don't worry about that. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that being anxious about it won't add a minute to your life. So again, in the scriptures, I should have looked it up. But all of David, all of my days were ordained for me. You've written them all down before there was ever one. All the hairs on your head are numbered. And Jesus is driving home that to be anxious about these things, it won't add a minute to your life. He chides us a little bit in here. And it's gentle. His correction is gentle throughout here. But he chides us a little, you know. If you can't do this little thing, why are you so anxious? Now, this is the second time in this chapter that Jesus has referenced the birds. And I'll just read it for you. It's over in the first part of this chapter, and that's verses 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? And yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are of more value than many birds. I'm glad Tom picked that hymn that we just sang about nature and what it proclaims to us. And Christ uses them in his teaching here as well. This is the second time, twice in one chapter, he mentions the birds, he references them. So it's springtime, you can hear me sniffling, it's springtime in East Texas, right? And so yes, there's pollen, and there's itchy eyes, and there's sneezing, right? But there's also the azalea, and the redbud, and the dogwood, and the roses, just like that hymn Tom picked for us. You know, just glorious. And there's also the birds. So God has gifted us with these sights and with these sounds and with these fragrances. Every morning, if you're up early, especially of late, every morning when you get up, you can hear the birds calling to one another. If you're up early, I'm up early. The sun's not up. I'm sitting in my chair with my coffee, and I can hear them. And they're talking to each other. They're calling to each other. And you know what? They're hunting up their breakfast. So nature is preaching to us and testifying to us of God's faithfulness. He's designed it that way. He's designed it so that nature itself, if you hadn't got a Bible, that'll preach to you, right? If you have the eyes and the ears to hear it and to see it. Don't be anxious. We're also told not to worry. Let's see, verse 29. And do not seek what you shall eat. Again, remember, in proper context, that food was not abundant. Do not seek what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. So much the same, but just a little nuances and difference. And differences. It's much the same. Again, to worry is to be afflicted with mental distress and agitation. The context, again, around food and clothing. But we can have other worries. How did I do on the test? How will I pay this bill? Will I get that promotion? Can we make it in retirement? Jesus corrects us and encourages and instructs us again in verses 30 and 31. All these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. So Jesus is calling us out from the world. He's calling us out. We get so focused on the immediate I preach to myself all this. We get so focused on the immediate, what seems pressing, so much so that we oftentimes lose sight of the Lord. Again, going back to his lordship, we lose sight of him. We get so bogged down in the things that are right in front of us. But Jesus calls us out from the world. We are not to be like the world in our thought processes. Again, the mind. And I know that we're, again, you know, we seek to have our spirits and our hearts encouraged, but our mind, it gets in the way. You know, but God's given us a mind, right? But it can get in the way. We our thought processes, we can just lose sight of him. He's calling us out from the world. We're not to think as they think. We're not to behave as they behave. And then he encourages us by telling us that our Heavenly Father knows what we need. There's a place in the scripture too where, you know, he says, what father, when his son asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? I remember asking my dad, are you sure it was an egg? And he flipped right over and said, yeah, it's an egg. So what father would do that? You know, I need a loaf. I need some help. I need an egg. Well, here's a scorpion. No good father would do that. And our Heavenly Father knows all of our needs, even before we ask. He instructs us to seek first his kingdom, and then all these things shall be added to us. And when we think of his kingdom, you know, we so often think of there, you know, in the sweet by and by, right? We think of there. And that's true. It's true. But it's also within us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. So this is what we have to look after. The kingdom of God within us. And they're the same, as it were. We're to seek that first. That's what we're doing this morning. We're here to build one another up and to stir one another up with the word of God, that he be magnified and glorified, that we catch a glimpse of him in this. The kingdom, his glory, his honor, should be first in our heart. The kingdom of God is within us. Jesus said when he was standing before Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. It is within us. And then verse 32, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. To be afraid is to be filled with apprehension and to be disturbed in our minds. Again, the mind. Of all our fears, the greatest is death. And we're told in the word that it is an enemy, and that all of us must face it, and that it is natural to fear it. But even death has been conquered by Jesus. We just got through celebrating Easter and sang all these glorious hymns, right? Jesus has conquered that for us. To quote Alistair Begg, you know, to despair is sin because Christ has risen. Pretty poignant. Now there's a promise in this verse, and it's personal. Your Father. Your Father. Doesn't say our Father. Doesn't say the Father. It says your Father. That's pretty sweet. My Father, your Father, our Father has chosen gladly to give us the kingdom. It can't be bought. It can't be won. It is a gift. Gladly given, which means it pleases him. You know, sometimes you give gifts because you have to, right? Somebody's birthday, or man, you gave me one, I got to give you one, right? This was gladly given. We gave nothing to him. Gladly given. Kind of let that sink in too. This is our Heavenly Father. This verse, this promise, if you will, it should put an end to our anxiety and our worry and our fear if we can grasp the Lord's teaching here. It doesn't mean we'll be free from problems or troubles. We've had them before, and we're going to have them again. Some of them will cause ourselves. But when faced with them, instead of being anxious or worrying or fearful, we will have what? What will we have if we don't have that? His peace. God's peace. Now, you don't have to turn there, but I marked it for me in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And here Paul is echoing the Lord's teaching. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, there it is, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds, our minds, in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say let your requests be made known to God and your wildest dreams will come true. It says he'll give you peace. And that's what we need. We need God's peace. We have so much going on around us in our lives, in our minds, in our families, in our world, in our nation. And we need God's peace. If we can grasp it, it is God's peace. Now, there are two little words tucked away in this section that should further encourage us, okay? Now, I just got through finishing a read through something in a year. I didn't go back and look at it, but it was an Alistair Begg thing, but I think it was the New Testament and the Psalms, something like that. Jennifer gave it to me, and I read it, right? And so each morning you get up, and you got this chapter you got to read, and you're going to flip over, and he's going to go through a psalm, and you're going to flip over, and you're going to write. And it's good. It's glorious. But sometimes we kind of punch that ticket, right? I got to get this verse read. I got to get this done. That way I'll be on time. That way I'll be on schedule to get this done. And it's all good. It's all good. There's nothing wrong with it. I just got through doing it. But sometimes when we go through the scriptures, you need to pause a little bit. Because there may be these little nuggets, these little gems, these little wonders that the Lord has left through us, all through the scripture that you just got to stop on. And I know, looking at across here, the people I know, who read their Bible, has that not happened to you where you're like, oh my gosh, I never saw that, right? Just right when you needed it, maybe. But you had to slow down and pump the brakes a second. Go, wow, and just let that nourish you, let that feed you. And it's like, I can't believe I just read this. I can't believe I didn't see it. Well, anyway, we hurried through this, and I'm sorry for the pace, but we hurried through this. But there's two little words. They're found in verse 24, and I circled them because I had never noticed them before. And yet. It's much the same as but God. And yet. Each one of us here this morning, everyone this morning could get up here and testify to God's and yet over our lives. I had this sickness, and yet. I had this need, and yet. I had this problem, and yet. I had this trouble, and yet. I've made a sore hash of my faith, stumbled, fallen, badly, sinned, and yet. Right? His and yet over our lives. That's encouraging. Now, before we move on, to the We've kind of finished with the don't be's. We'll move into the be's. Before we move on to that, there's a couple of verses tucked between the two sections. Verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make for yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth devours, destroys. Now, that verse is not underlined in my Bible. There are other verses, and there are other words, and yet I just circled it a couple of weeks ago on this, right? This verse is not underlined, and it's not highlighted in my Bible. If it is in yours, then that's props to you, okay? You might be saying to yourself, well, Mark, why are you talking about it? Why don't you touch on this one, right? I mean, you were doing okay, you know, and I got a little encouragement in the end. Yeah, it was great, maybe, hopefully. Why you got to touch on this? I'll just remind you, I didn't say it or write it. These are the words of the Lord. What does it mean? I don't know. And I think that's a good answer. I think it's a good answer. Sometimes when you're faced with something, you got to kind of hold it in your hand and say, Lord, just teach me what do you mean here? Teach me from it. I don't know. What does it mean? Sell all your possessions and give to charity. I got a mortgage, right? Sell all your possessions and give to charity. I'm saving for college. I'm saving for retirement. What does this mean? Well, to be completely fair, in the section that we've kind of carved out to look at this morning, it's a tiny bit out of context, okay? For context, you have to go kind of to the front of the story. You don't have to turn there, and I'm not going to go through all of it. But for context, you have to go over to the beginning, so to speak. So Jesus, again, has a crowd around him. Many of them are looking for bread. And somebody hollers out, hey, you know, have my brother divide the inheritance with me. And you know the response Jesus gives, you know, I'm not arbiter over your affairs. And then he says, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Now, did you know that greed has many forms? We first think of money, right? There are other forms of greed. How about your time? About a word spoken to somebody. How about your time? That's, you think about it, that's an ouch right there. For even when one has an abundance, his life does not consist of his possessions. And then he goes on to tell this story, which is a parable about this guy who has barns that are full. I call him plenty money. He's got plenty of money. And his barns are full, right? But he has more crops. But instead of sharing out of his abundance, he has an abundance. Instead of being generous out of his abundance, he's like, you know what? I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to take all my stuff and put it in here. And then, you know, I'm going to take my ease. And what does he say to him? You fool, this night, this very night, your soul is required of you. And now, who will own all that you have prepared? So that the verse starts to come into a little clearer context, right? A little clearer focus of what he's saying here in this verse that I didn't underline. Comes into a little sharper focus for us. Then in 21, he says, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Again, the dial is turning. We're just a little clearer on what he meant by this. We're getting a little better picture of it. And then finally, in verse 34, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Ouch. And there's the sword of the Spirit just running through and getting to the heart of the matter. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? On what are we hoping? In whom do we hope? What have we set those affections on? Remember God's generosity. He has gladly given us the kingdom. Well, there's the ultimate generosity, an unselfish act of amazing generosity. So what does the verse mean entirely? I don't know. But we need to ask the Lord to help us with it. Ask the Lord to help us with it. And those verses that he put in there with it just kind of bring us all up to where we need to be. All where we need to be. I remember one time somebody asked me, and I'm not 100% sure who it was, but I do listen to the Christian radio station. And I listen to a little music, not much, but a little. And then I listen to the talk radio, and that's where I discovered Alistair Begg. And many of you know of Alistair Begg. He's marvelous, wonderful teacher. He's a missionary among the Yankees is what I call him. But it's wonderful. And I had someone ask me, when they come on and do their fundraising drive, and they're asking for money, what do you do? I mean, Bueller prayed in millions without that. What do you do when they ask you? And I told them, I'll write them a check. Now, I don't empty my bank account, but I write them a check. The Lord has blessed us abundantly. There's not a soul in here that hasn't got abundance, right? Or isn't being blessed. And if you're blessed from something like that, then give to it. The Lord didn't say he loves a cheerful tither, cheerful giver. So that's just a little. And listen, that's not a pat on the back for me. I am a terrible person. I am. I really am. But Jesus is marvelous. He's wonderful. And he saved me. But so I don't say that as one for me. I didn't tell you how much I wrote. But just that, hey, things don't happen just on their own sometimes. Sometimes they do. All right, I'm running out of time. So we'll move on quickly then, and I'll finish up quickly with the B's, if you will. Verse 35 and 36. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. Hang on. And be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. We are to be dressed in readiness and to keep our lamps alight. This is much like the parable over in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins. So it's very, very similar. The teaching is the same. There are 5 foolish and 5 prudent. All 10 have their lamps lit. All 10 have their lamps trimmed. But only 5 take the extra oil that they need while the bridegroom is tarrying. Now, if any of us have been encouraged on this Lord Day, on this Lord's Day, any of us have been encouraged by anything the Lord has shared with our spirits, then we bless God for it and we thank him for it. But tomorrow, we will need fresh oil. Whatever strength we're getting today will not carry us through tomorrow. We are leaky vessels. I am. We are leaky vessels. We will need fresh oil. It also says that we are to be dressed in readiness. And that doesn't mean a robe and slippers. That great hymn we sing, Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Never think the victory won, or lay thine armor down. So as a Christian, to be dressed is to be armed. Not that we're seeking a conflict, but that we are to be ready for it. Verse 39, be sure of this, if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed him to break into his house. To be dressed in readiness. Peter in 1 Peter 13 said, gird your minds for action. Be sober of spirit. To quote Rutherford, he said, we should keep close touches with our Lord. That's about that oil. Keep close touches with the Lord and let him not find a feeble or a faint soldier of you. We are to be dressed. We are to be like men waiting for their master's return. We are to be ready for his coming when no one knows when. And he will come when we least expect it. And really, when we're in our right spirits, what should our reply be? Maranatha, come. Come and get us. So, I hurried through this, but don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Be dressed in readiness and be like men expecting our Lord and be ready. I'm just going to close this.